This is the word of the Lord.
Our structure this morning is simple. It's the trap, the good news, and then the point that I'd like to tie it back to the three that we're honoring today. The trap that Jesus is in, the good news that Jesus shares, and then the take home for us this morning. First, the trap. It's important for us to know the setting. So those of you that know we're going through the Gospel of Luke, you know this is Holy Week. This is where we've landed. I know we're in October now, but we're looking at Holy Week. Jesus has come riding into Jerusalem. This is the last week of his life. It's probably a Tuesday or Wednesday. He's teaching on the temple grounds, and the crowd is hanging on every word. Now, with that being said, this last day of work for him isn't cake and cards and sharing good memories here. This is actually controversy because he's teaching as one who has authority. So the religious authorities in the area are not taking it well. In fact, you saw at the beginning of the passage, it said that they would take him right now if they could. So the players involved in this trap would be Jesus, who's teaching, right? The crowd who's listening, the religious leaders who are upset because of this challenge of authority. And now you have these religious leaders going and getting some spies, people who are pretending with an honest question and laying on the flattery and laying it on thick. So we got the setting, we got the players. Now let's look at the question. What's the question they ask? Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not? You see, the goal of their question is to force Jesus to take a political stance on a controversial matter. They're trying to pit him against Rome. You need to know how high the stakes are. This is Passover. Everybody's there. Everybody's listening. And these religious leaders have just rolled a hand grenade right into the middle of the teaching time. You see, if Jesus says not to pay the tax, he's in trouble with Rome. He's seen as a revolutionary. He's leading a rebellion, and it will lead to him facing the death penalty. He can't say yes to the tax. Because if you then, you can't say no to it because of Rome, but then if you say yes to the tax, the Jewish nationalists who would be in that crowd, they realize that Jesus is now participating with the exploitation, the Roman oppression. You can't side with Rome. You can't tell us to pay the tax. In fact, in that group of the nationalists, there would be this subgroup called the Zealots. Now, these were people that were so fierce with keeping the law. They would say that it's blasphemy even to have a coin. You know what's on the coin? It's the image of Caesar. It's stamped right into the coin. And then above it, it says that he's a son of the divine. It's like saying he's the son of God, acknowledging that Augustus would be the divine. So blasphemy is minted right onto the coin. There's no God but God, and your coin is saying there's a God. You can't say to pay the tax. It's breaking God's law. So no matter what Jesus does, he's in trouble. To his left is a rock. To his right is a hard place. Or to quote Admiral Akbar from Star Wars, it's a trap. I hope you've seen that movie and know the line. All kidding aside, it really is a life and death moment for Jesus. How's he going to get out of this? With the good news of the gospel. The first thing he does is tells the guy, well, pull out a denarius. Trick question. The fact that he had a denarius in his pocket shows that he's participating in Roman's occupation. He's busted right then and there. You are participating in Caesar's blasphemous project. Busted. While you've got it out, whose image is on it? That word image, if you're one that likes to take notes, that word image is so important. Because there's an image that's stamped on that coin, and it's Caesar, and it's to say Caesar is Lord. But that language is from Genesis chapter 1, where each one of us is stamped with an image, and it's the image of our Creator. that you are made in the image of God. And notice how he gets out of this. He says, oh, that blasphemous coin? Give that back to Caesar. But you, who are made in God's image, give yourselves over to God. Brilliant. Like, okay, this is my rabbi right here. Like, way to go. But think about it. There's an even deeper irony here, because those men who he just said, give your blasphemous coin back to Caesar, give yourself to God, what are they going to do? They're going to take the one person who truly is the Son of God, and they're going to give him over to Caesar by the end of the week. See, here's the great irony of this passage, is that the one who truly is the Son of God is the one who gets handed over, giving to Caesar what really belongs to God. But in God's great wisdom, in God's upside-down kingdom, you see, Caesar's favorite weapon is the cross, and he's going to use that as an instrument of death, but that death is going to result in our salvation. So here's the deal. The Son of God was given over to Caesar so that you could profess your Lord is Jesus, and that you could then belong to him. So the truth is, when you trust in Jesus, not Caesar, not that coin, when you trust in Jesus and give your allegiance to him, you belong to God in body and in soul, in life and in death. Let Caesar have his coins with his face that says, Lord. Let God have us, that we can declare that Jesus is Lord. This is the good news. And it's tucked right in the middle of this trap on Holy Week. You trust it. You believe it. You build your life on your identity, that when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you belong to God. And this is why I think the passage fits so well for this morning, is because we're honoring three people who know what it means to belong to God, who give to God what belongs to God. Sally, Miss Mary, and Tony. Through their faithfulness here, think of the worship that we have, the praise that we have, the prayer, the community, the gospel that gets preached week after week, giving to God what belongs to God. Sally, that's 20 years of bulletins. That's 2,200 bulletins at about 200 apiece. I did the math. That is almost 500,000 pieces of paper that have led people in worship. 240 newsletters. I can't do the math on the phone calls. The food boxes. The people that just drop in that need a listening ear. The face of our church, Tuesday through Friday, to welcome people. You see, so much pastoral ministry happens in that office before it ever even makes it to my office. It's faithful service, giving to God what belongs to God. And Miss Mary, 25 years, that's a generation. I don't want to do the whole, like, raise your hand if you're a child who's had a child that's now in the nursery. I don't want to play that game. I'm afraid to ask. But the comfort that you give to parents, when they walk in, the tears that you have dried, I won't do that math either, the bouncing on your lap, the hugs, the assurance, it's a foundation and a security that when people can walk onto our campus, they get the message, you're family. And we're going to love you and your kids, and we're going to teach you about Jesus. And Tony, 30 years, leading a congregation in worship through music. The thousands and thousands of hymns that you have picked, the ones we know and the ones we don't know. It is 3,000, just on Sunday morning alone, it would be 3,000 hours of worship. Y'all get that? Like, that's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be like, I have worshiped corporate. That's just corporate worship. He's participated in 3,000 hours. Not to mention the personal practice that he's here on Saturdays, the rehearsals that he's led people through. He's made it through red hymnals. and blue hymnals, and now purple hymnals, and contemporary Christian music. And he's been doing all of this before Chris Tomlin was even born. That's probably not true. But giving to God what belongs to God and making space for us to do likewise. Thank you to you three for showing us. Thank you for living it. Thank you for embodying the teaching of Jesus. We thank God for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.